do the best we can here.
Dan Paul's on.
Yes.
He just isn't unmuted.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Dan. Good. Glad to see your name.
Yes.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Feels like it's only been a couple of weeks, you know, since we've seen each other. Had a question for the group, you know, a process question, you know, for the group. This is kind of an ad hoc meeting. You know, it's not a normally scheduled meeting. It's a compressed time. You know, we have the tradition of going around and checking in. And so it's a process check, especially for those that have been part of this process for a long time. Is it better to save this time to get into content, or is it still valuable enough where we want to go in the room and check around with people? So I thought I'd ask that first, just to see if there's any reaction to that.
I asked Francine that once and I got reprimanded for it. So.
Well, you know, I kind of played with it because, okay, time's important, but even the check-in has value. Kind of reminds us, kind of humanizes us a bit. I know when I listen to people check in, it reminds me, you know, as important as this topic is, it's one of dozens in our lives. You know, so there is value in checking in. All right. So right now the scales are tipping in the favor of checking in unless I hear otherwise. All right. Why don't we check in? Tom Davis, how are you doing today? Oh, I might have caught Tom getting a cup of coffee or something. All right. How about we go to Bill? Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful sunny day here. I'd like a little bit more snow, but we don't have any choice on that, do we? Hopefully we can get something done on this day and wrap it up.
You say you'd like a little bit more snow?
Yeah, we'd love some more snow. Christmas is coming up pretty soon.
All right. Well, good luck to you on that. Sammy. Sammy, if you're talking, I can't hear you. All right. Well, we'll circle back with Sammy.
Oh, I mean, because everything is freezing on my end.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
I think I got that stopped. I don't know. I'm a little beat up and physically and mentally, and not really sure what we're accomplishing. And hopefully we can answer some of those questions. And it's pretty hard. I agree with Bill. It's pretty hard to be inside on a 45 degree day in December. We don't get those very often. So.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I hope we can help you feel better physically and mentally this afternoon. Tom Davis, how are you doing, Tom?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Doing fine. You know, your comment, Rob, resonated with me at the beginning, just talking about all the other issues that we're working with. A real good family, friends of ours, their 18-year-old daughter is struggling, who's always been a very happy, outgoing young woman, bright, competent, is dealing with depression right now and really struggling and never has before this. You know, I think it's just all of the kind of separation from her friends and disruption of her schooling and doggone it, you know, so it is a good reminder, you know, that there are more, as important as this is, there are more important issues affecting some of our friends and families that we need to be mindful of. And it's been a good kind of a ground truth thing for me too, just encouraging them as good, dear friends. I've had the chance to have a couple conversations since we last met that were really important to me. And I guess I just wanted to reiterate to the WAG the importance of this discussion to us, to me, the Farm Bureau, and at the Farm Bureau, and our commitment to keep the conversation moving forward in a way that in the end I think we can get to a place where it meets the needs of of our organization, the ranchers, the conservation community, I mean, everyone. So we're in it to for the, through the conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. And I wish that young lady and her family some good luck here with
thank you.
What their challenges are. Caitlin, how are you, Caitlin?
I'm doing good. It is a very sunny, gorgeous day here in Anacortes too, but I am also like excited to be here. And I feel like sort of starting with that attitude of like, let's see what we can get done. Let's work together. Let's be grateful for each other. It's like a really great point to start. I appreciate what you said, Tom.
Thank you, Caitlin. Robert Garcia, how are you today? I see you're not muted. I can't hear you though, Robert, if you're trying to talk.
Can't hear me now.
Oh yeah, very faintly though.
I'm not sure how to fix that. I turned my camera on. But I'm doing good. Glad to be here. I was on the last couple of calls. I guess technical difficulties. I wanted to share with the group that my supervisor retired recently, Eric Johnston. And speaking of technical difficulties, his Zoom party was scheduled from 4 to 5:30, and it started at 5:30 and ended at 7:30 because of technical difficulties. But yeah,
wow.
He's retired, and hopefully we'll have someone in place in January.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert. And I think there might be a couple of our members that don't know Robert. He's representing the U.S. Forest Service. So I know Caitlin. I don't think you've met him. And Lynn, I'm not sure if you've met him. Oh, you have. Okay.
Thank you for sharing that, Rob. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. No problem. Glad to see you. Steve Pizangra.
Good afternoon, everybody. Doing well. Yeah, beautiful day here in Spokane as well. And I had a chance to get out, take the dogs on a walk over lunchtime. So ready to dive in.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Paula, good to see you.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to appreciate what Tom said. I think that was really helpful. Nice way to start the day. And I'm reflecting on, you know, it's been a super rough year. I'm sure lots of people have these stories and won't go into details, but for my family, it's been a really hard year. So I'm really trying to focus on things that I am thankful for. And I have a lot of those things. And participating in this group is one of them, right? It's, despite how, frustrating sometimes it can be when our dialogue seems like it's not making progress. I see it when we break through and I see that we're still, I don't know, we still honor each other's, humanity. Let me put my video on here for a second. Sorry about that. And that's not, it's not common enough. And so I just wanted to appreciate that for the fact that we still do that with each other. And encourage us to keep doing it. And just, and I just appreciate everybody's energy and willingness and it's a bright spot. So, with that, I'm forward to meeting.
Yeah. Thank you, Paula. And it's a nice reminder to all of us to be thankful for the good that we have. And I wish you luck with the challenges you're encountering, too. Dan Paul.
Hey, guys. Doing good. Really appreciate those words by Paula. It's important to remember what we're thankful for. This group is definitely one of them. Happy to get some work done today. So good to see everybody.
Yeah, good to see you too. Thanks, Dan. Donnie.
good afternoon, everybody. I'm doing good. Paula just said, well, let me back up a little bit. So I dreamed about WAG last night. And it was our dinners. I was dreaming we were at dinner again. That tells you how much I miss the time when we can just hang out together and talk about family and other things and enjoy a meal and do all that. I cannot wait until we can do that again. I am, some tough stuff going on in the family. COVID has hit my extended family. So we've got a lot of prayers going on and worry and that kind of stuff going on right now with that. It, like Paula said and others, it reminds me of the things that I'm thankful for. The health of my immediate family and being able to spend time with them, but also all of you. You were all friends. I enjoy working with you all very much. You're a place of positivity for me, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
Thank you, Donnie. Let's see, just checking. I don't know if Nick was able to join us yet. I don't see him. Dave Duncan, how are you, Dave? Dave, if you're talking, I think you're still muted. All right. We'll try and circle back with you, Dave. Candace, how are you, Candace?
I am well, enjoying the sunshine for sure, and looking forward to checking this the next step in this portion of the protocol. So,
all right,
what everyone's saying, and like I said, I know that this is sometimes it feels arduous for everyone, but we'll get there.
Thank you, Candace. Katie, how are you? Katie, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Just a little late. Doing good. I just got back from lunch and took my dog for a walk, so that was fun. And it's a pretty busy time of the year in wildlife program, so just staying really busy, and I'm happy I'm able to be here to be your note taker today, and looking forward to seeing the progress you all make.
Thanks, Katie. Lynn, how are you today?
First of all, I do want to thank Tom for his words. I appreciate hearing that. I want to acknowledge the 18-year-old having problems and then what Paula said. And I'm doing better because I've been having a struggle with my dog who's been critically ill since Thanksgiving morning, and we weren't sure she was going to make it. But she actually came home from the vet last evening, and so I'm feeling a lot better. They really are members of our family, and so not a human being, but still a family member. So I'm glad to be here, and today is a much better day.
Yeah, well, we're glad you're here, and it's glad to hear about your dog, too. And I agree, they're family members. Diane, how are you, Diane?
I'm good. Really grateful to be here with all of you. Appreciate the words, kind of helping us focus on win-win-win for everybody and see if we can't come up with language that's going to work for all. And I'm confident that we can do that.
Thank you, Diane. Julia?
Rob? I'm glad to be here as well. I am sorry to hear from so many different WAG members and people in general that there are a lot of people going through some tough times right now. And yeah, it is one of those years, one of those times. And I'm sorry to hear that. My heart goes out to every one of you and the people who in your lives who are dealing with those things. Any day I can get out in the sun is a good day for me. So I was able to get out for a run today before the meeting. So I feel good. And I love the attitude of gratitude check-ins that we're having today. So thanks.
So I think what you're doing is you told me I made the right decision to continue with them. That's what I think I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Thanks, Julia. Ben, how are you, Ben?
Hey, I'm doing good today, and likewise, I appreciate everybody, and definitely heart goes out to folks struggling right now. But looking forward to the meeting today and trying to move forward on some of this stuff, and likewise enjoying the sunshine that we have over here in Eastern Washington. But with Bill, I want to see snow. It's my favorite time of year when snow starts flying. So bring it on.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. Lisa.
I want to echo what everybody else said earlier. I'm pretty thankful. Actually, I'm home in Washington. I was in California for the last couple of months, so it's actually really nice to be back up here and in Eastern Washington. I'd like to see some more snow as well.
All right, that's three calls for snow. Thanks, Lisa, and you sounded good. I'm pretty clear, so hopefully your internet connection holds out for us. Just going to give another spot.
Okay, I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Okay. Hopefully I didn't just jinx it. Jess. Not sure if Jess has joined us yet, so I thought I'd pause there. Okay. Anne Marie and Trent, how are you two doing?
I'm doing good. Got to get out in the field for a little bit this morning before the meeting. And I'm looking forward to kind of getting some stuff done today. So I appreciate the optimistic outlook. I'm optimistic too.
Yeah. Anne-Marie?
Yep, I'm good today. Enjoying seeing blue sky out the window. I do want to let everyone know I probably will be headed out at 2. Got a dead deer to go look at, but I'll try to call in on the phone if I can.
All right. Thank you, Emery. Thanks for the heads up and good luck. Jessica.
Hello. I am doing all right. I also missed the dinners wherever Donnie went. I can't see his screen now, but yeah, I feel like meeting in person. I know there's nothing we can do about it right now, but boy, that was great. And I'm looking forward to being able to do that again. And let's see, for my lunch break, I went skiing, which I'm just learning to do. And it's the most horrendous thing. I don't know if anybody here has ever tried, but it's awful and I hate it. I'm going to keep trying, but holy cow, it is not pleasant. So that's my update is I am bruised and demoralized, but ready to do work here, just not ready to get back on skate skis again. Today, anyway. Talk to me tomorrow about it, but today I'm all done.
Wow. Now, did you say skate skiing?
Skate skiing, yes.
Yeah. I don't even know if I know what that is.
Yeah, that's because it's ridiculous and nobody should. it's just what it sounds like. It's skating on skis. So it's like Nordic skiing. It's a type of Nordic skiing, except that you skate to propel yourself forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
I all right. Well, you don't encourage me to try right now, so.
No, sorry. No, I'm not selling it, but.
Gotcha. Well, thank you, Jessica. And I see we've got a number of other staff that are joining us too, and I want to welcome them and encourage them to, to participate where they might be helpful. So just wanted to appreciate all them too with trying to find the balance of taking time to go through everybody and getting to the meeting. So I think right now I'd like to transition into going into the meeting. I think our purpose here today is to continue our discussion about special focus area language for the protocol. Where I think we left off last meeting was we have the latest version of proposed language or potential language that I think Julia shared with everybody shortly after the meeting. And part of that is Sammy, based on our discussion, she captured an initial offering of, okay, what would cause some place to be designated a special focus area? And so we have those two reference points for us that were sent to you ahead of time. Before I go much further, anybody have a different expectation of what we're supposed to do here today? All right. So with that, now, Julia, like before, I'm assuming you could help us out. When it's appropriate, you can throw the language up. If it's, based on our discussion and capture notes as we go, is that accurate?
You bet. I'm ready to do that whenever you guys want.
All right. Thank you. So I guess I'd like to open up and ask, is there any member that would like to start this discussion and maybe share what they thought after reviewing what we did last time? So we either don't want, okay, Donnie.
Well, I was kind of waiting for somebody, but I'll take the quiet airspace here just to let folks know that, I did remember the Hope Line concept, right? So I did, Julia, Steve and I sent what you all had worked on, kind of your draft section 9. And I just want to emphasize draft, but this was the good opportunity to have a conversation with Director Suswin so that he kind of sees what we're working on and can give us some a reaction. So, whatever we create, we know it's going to work for a bigger circle than this. And so he did. He took a look at it and gave some feedback. And I can share that now. It's pretty short, or we can do it along the way.
Well, Donnie, how about sharing it with us?
Okay. No surprise. He kind of recognized some of the areas that you all are work on and want to work on some more. He acknowledged the difference in the title because, we keep him up to speed regularly on this. And so he noticed the difference where we had gone away from the chronic conflict zone. And his comment was, and this is going to branch into another piece here, but, that could be a shift that others are not following. Why did we shift to a different name? And as long as the bigger audience knows why we did that shift and it makes sense to everybody, then it was fine. And an example he brought up is, some of the discussions with the governor's office and those kinds of things. And if it looked like we were going a different direction, then, and the name change was a signal of a different direction. And I said, no, that's not the case. And I think we have a valid, kind of rationale for why we're headed to what direction we are. And so he acknowledged that and understood it and just wanted to make sure that we were all up to speed on it. And I'm going to come back to that governor's office piece here in a moment. He recognized the part about how important it is that we really define the FSAs. I told him that you all are still grappling with that and that that's not perfected. And I shared kind of the, different perspectives you shared and kind of how to approach the discussion. So he just acknowledged that it's going to be important that we all have a solid understanding of how we ID these SFAs. He immediately recognized that, okay, there is a value is decision space. So he immediately recognized, oh, there's a part here where if the ball gets dropped, so to speak, that it affects things. And that is, so what happens if there's a SFA that's ID'd and there is no proactive plan in place? And that can impact decision space and that can kind of, and he acknowledged that and he said, that's the department's job to make sure that gets done. And he owns that. He said, and we're going to get that done. But, he recognized that could affect decision space. But at the same time, he said, nope, these are known areas. We should have those things in place and we're not going to drop that ball. And then he also recognized the part on the ungulate language and just made a statement recognizing about within our known data and what we know about populations and all that kind of stuff. He acknowledged the importance of those kind of considerations, but also just acknowledged that there's a there's information that we don't have or don't know, and it's kind of data limited, that sort of thing. So pause there for a second. Julia, did I leave anything out? Any other reflections from our discussion with Kelly?
I don't think so. Just that, yeah, the definition is really important. I think that was the main thing. And that a little more on the ungulate piece, that kind of, you know, we do have resources in place to try to answer those questions, but regardless of the outcome, we're not sure how that would affect this area specifically.
Thank you, Julia. And then the last piece from that update with Kelly was just an acknowledgement and a discussion about what we're working on, the development, what our process is, and the importance of making sure to, as we're building this thing, as we continue to reach out to the commission, the Wolf Committee in particular, and get their reactions as we're building it. And the same thing with the governor's office, with JT, to make sure to be inclusive of those perspectives so that, you know, what we're building kind of works for that bigger audience.
Yeah, thank you, Donnie.
Yep, that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Donnie, for kicking us off. Any other members would like to offer their observations or react to some of the director's comments? All right, so the language must be perfect. Oh, actually, Diane, I see you, Diane, go ahead.
I think that what really hit me after the discussion was how to find that balance between a definition that's tight enough that all of us have the same understanding of what it means, but not being so tight that there's not a situation that actually works for meeting that definition. And I'm still struggling a bit with that.
Thank you, Diane. Tom?
Thanks, Rob. I can't help myself, but I was noodling around with some additional language, a different approach to it. And I'm not sure what to do with that, but just say, you know, trying to develop an approach, and language that addresses some of the concerns that we have in the underlying language, responsibilities, that type of thing. So when I guess I'm just looking for guidance as to, you know, after this meeting, what to do with that, or, you know, so I just throw that out.
Yeah, and Tom, I guess I'd ask, it sounds like you have some ideas to share. Is it something that would be useful at an appropriate time in this meeting? We throw the text up and you can kind of talk us through, you know, some of your ideas. Might that be useful?
So I'll leave that up to the group. Yeah, I don't.
Okay. So we'll keep that. We'll keep that in our back pocket here. We've got a couple more hands up. But that's something for us we can do. Dave.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Dave.
I cannot hear you guys, so I'm on the phone to hear you. I'm kind of messed up here. I'm on the phone that I can't talk on, but I guess I can talk to you. So as long as I understand that, we'll just go on.
All right, Dave, can you hear me okay on your phone right now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. So did you just want to share that with us so we know the difficulties you're having, or did you have a comment at this time?
Yeah, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling with it. And the people that I have talked to, both hunters and cattlemen, are struggling with the document as it is.
All right. Is there a specific part in particular that catches their attention?
Well, I think we're burdening the livestock producers more. And definitely, taking giving the department has less authority this the way this is written.
All right, Dave. Anything else? It's probably tough trying to do phone and computer for you. All right, Dave. I don't hear anything from you now, so I'm going to go to the next person and just get our attention again with a hand raise if I'm cutting you off short here. Jessica?
I guess I wanted to, I was listening to what Diane said, and I agree with her that the definition needs to be, you know, not too specific, but has to actually have meaning. And I think, and maybe it's too soon to jump into the nitty gritty of the document, but when I was reading it, I had actually highlighted the second sentence where it says, SFAs may also be defined by specific locales within a PAC territory where conflict livestock is recurrent. And I had just made a comment to myself to share with the group that it almost feels like, I mean, that's a very broad statement. And I sort of am left wondering, why are we defining it at all? If then after we define it, we're going to say basically, you know, or any other locale where there's conflict. And I don't necessarily have the answer. I'm just, you know, Diane had brought it up and it struck me that that was really that second sentence of the document, again, just seemed to highlight the issue. So yeah. I don't know if we're getting anywhere.
I think we're getting close to throwing up the document, Jessica.
Okay, great.
And then I'll make sure to give time, both you and Tom, to share your thinking with the text up. Donnie?
Okay.
Yes, I think we may be at that time where maybe that's the first thing we dive into, kind of flag that one. We know Tom's got some things he'd like to talk about. Dave may have some others, but that may be our first entry point, and then kind of go around the virtual room and see if there are other spots. The part that I was going to mention, this was from an earlier conversation. It's not something we have like handy right now, but you know, we do have the documentation that has kind of the number of depredation events that we've seen in each pack over time. And it wouldn't take us, we don't have it right in our hands right now, but it wouldn't take us very much to be able to get that as a resource for this group to, if they need it.
All right. Thanks for that offer, Donnie. Paula?
Yeah, so just really quick, what Dave said caught my attention about producers feeling like this document takes some authority away from the department. And so when we get to opening the document, I would be really curious to understand what specifically in it he's referring to. It sounds to me anyway, like it might be another example of there's sentiments out there about how folks are feeling about this document. And I've heard producers say this a number of times that it feels punitive to them, or it feels like it's going to be more of a burden on them. And I know that several of us in conservation have said multiple times that our hope and desire for the document is to provide more resources so producers lose fewer cows. And so it feels like we continue to talk past each other. And so I would really like us to find if there's pieces of the document that anybody feels like is causing these sentiments and they want to point to that language. So then we can study it and say, you know, either there's a way to change the wording or what it says is not how you're reading it, and see if there's ways that we can work through that. So it's just an approach I wanted to offer up for as we go through the document.
Yeah, thank you, Paula. Well, Julia, I think we're to the point. I'd like to ask your help in throwing up the document, please. And then as a starting point, how about we highlight the sentence we think Jessica's talking about, just to, you know, at least highlight that for our discussion.
Can you help me? Jessica, which one was it again?
It was just the second sentence where it says SFAs may also be defined by specific locales within a PAC territory where conflict. Yep, that one.
All right, so we've got that highlighted. Tom, would this be a good time for you to talk us through some of your thinking?
Well, and I've been trying to figure out how exactly to do that. So what I did is I'm a writer by trade. So I just rewrote the whole thing, putting what I thought was putting the shared goal of this section at the beginning point so people know what in the world we're talking about and why, rather than defining what an SFA is right up front. So it's kind of apples and oranges at this point.
When about the shared goal, you know, that.
No, just about this document and then my document, they're structured a little differently.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah. So the hard part, it sounds like you're judging how to best help the group follow your ideas without rewriting the whole thing, huh?
So. And one of the things I did, if I'm still in order to talk here, Rob.
Go ahead, Tom.
So there was this, the definition that's highlighted as to what, trying to get at what an SFA is. And then in the column there to the right, I believe this is what Sammy had initiated. And I ended up pulling from the right, that column, defining what a SFA is. As just a different way to come at it. And again, I'm not sure it's the right way, but that was another difference.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. We got a couple hands up. Actually one now, Diane.
I like the idea of a goal statement at the beginning. I think it helps in setting the stage for what this is all about. And I really like that idea. I just wanted to say that.
All right. Thank you, Diane. So on that topic, you know, I think when I look at this draft, I think you, the group are playing with a goal statement that's in the middle. It's like the first numbered rationale at the bottom of the screen. Is that the goal statement? I guess, at least that's what I think it is based on what you've put together. And is that what we're talking about maybe moving up front? Well, let me ask specifically, Tom, when you talk goal statement, is that first number one similar to what you thought the goal statement is or should be? And I'm not hearing anybody. Am I?
Sorry, you have to click that little button to unmute yourself.
Oh, okay.
Just to let everybody know, that is what I used as my initial point, as the shared goal for this section.
All right.
Or something very close to it.
All right. So at least, Julie, I think we can at least annotate, you know, consider moving that to the front. Unless, you know, I don't know if the group
they were up front originally, and then at the last meeting we moved other stuff ahead. So I'm happy with just moving it up front, depending how wide feels about it, rather than adding a comment to say to move it.
Okay, you know, and I don't know if we're talking about the whole list of numbers and as opposed to just number one, but Donnie, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, like Diane said too, I would be supportive of starting with a goal statement at the top. It like we did move things around before, but I think that's okay, right? We're building something. This is the sausage making of it all. But I like the idea also of starting with a goal statement.
All right. So we've got, I think, at least three members encouraging us to do that. How about we take that sentence and put it up top, Julia, just to get that thought solidified a little bit.
Just number one or all of them?
Well, let's ask the group, see what they think. Diane?
Well, this was Tom's recommendation, so I should probably let him speak first. But I like the idea of just putting number one just to set the context for the rest of that section and then leaving the rest where it is.
All right. Thank you, Diane. Tom, I think you just sent us something in the chat too, didn't you, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, this is awkward talking about a document you can't see. So I tried to dump in there the first three paragraphs of what's in my document. Just
Tom, could you read it to us so the people, the panel, or the people in the public can know what that says? Could you just read that what your three paragraphs are?
Okay, and that's only part of it. I rewrote. I'm a writer. I can't help myself. I rewrote the whole thing. But so the shared goal for implementing a special focus area is to minimize livestock depredations in areas experiencing increasing levels of conflict. The department's decision to establish an SFA is a recognition that repeated livestock loss and wolf removals are likely to cause significant hardship for producers and their animals, as well as their communities, wolf packs, the wolf advocate community, and WDFW staff, which was already, that was in this document already. I just pulled that up, but I thought that should be higher. And then I went in and I talk about how an SFA is met. What are the conditions? And like I said, I borrowed from, I believe it was Sammy's language in the right side, but I changed it saying one, full pack removal comprising of multiple increments occurred in the prior year and the area has since been recolonized. If recolonization has not occurred, the area is not an SFA and should be reevaluated in the following year. Two, incremental lethal removal has been authorized in two of the last 3 years. Three, the area has experienced four or more confirmed livestock depredations during the prior grazing season. I don't know if those are all the right ones, if some shouldn't be there, but it's a placeholder for discussion.
All right. Thanks, Tom. You know what? We'll give time for people to react to that. But one thought, too, is, we're going to have a break coming up soon. But depending on people's reaction to your offering there and the other comments we get, we could always take time during the break to get those words from you if they're useful and show them to people if that's useful.
What if I send them to Julia and then you've got them if you want to use them or not?
Yeah, will that work for you, Julia? All right. Any other thoughts on this particular section from members? So since I see no hands, does that mean you others are pretty comfortable with the content, or is it, hey, you know, we'd like to see Tom's language and see what that looks like. Donnie?
I guess I'm a little confused when you say this. Do you mean section 9?
Yes.
I'm maybe over-processing it a little bit. I'd like to hear from everybody if they have. I'd like to go around the room and kind of hear from everybody if they have other things in section 9 that's on their mind that they're really wanting to see a tweak or something like that.
Okay.
I just want to make sure we're not, you know, missing something or folks being bashful about it. And then also when we go around that room, you know, for the folks implementing this, if they've got any thoughts as well. That's just me though. So I'm not driving the bus, but I'd kind of like to hear from everybody.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, Donnie. Getting a pause in case someone has any objection to that or a different option. But I think there's value there. All right. Let's go around. Bill, when you read this, any particular thoughts come to your mind?
Well, in general, I'm sort of comfortable with the content, but I think it really needs to be smoothed out and reorganized a little bit. I sort of like Tom's idea of sort of putting that rationale. That's always bothered me in the past. I haven't really mentioned, but it sort of bothers me to have the rationale at the bottom instead of up at the top. And with the stuff that Julie sent us on the SFA criteria and stuff, I like working in that direction. So,
okay. Thank you, Bill. Sammy? So Sammy, if you might be having difficulty like you did earlier in the meeting, I can't hear you right now.
Yeah, again, I did not hear you calling me, and I did not hear the question because I have no idea why my internet's being this way, but it is.
Okay.
What are you wanting checked in on here?
So we're going around the room, just to get each person's thoughts on this section, the latest draft of the section, just to share the key thoughts you might have on this as far as, you know, are you comfortable with it? Is there a particular you think needs more work or any other thoughts you want to share with the group?
I see. So having been part of writing it, you don't think that you wrote it to have read a certain way. And when other people read it, especially other producers are reading it, they are definitely seeing this as a more work for them. And obviously that would not be my intention. So I guess the question I would propose back is how does this section change the way the department is going to manage wildlife, especially wolves, but without recognizing, and I see we've got it highlighted here in the 16 there, without recognizing ungulates in the management of wolves, we're not ever going to, without recognizing it, there's no way around recognizing the fact that ungulate population has a big to do with depredations as far as on livestock. So that's one of the major things that I'm hearing is how is this going to make or change that, and how is it going to help the department do their job? And I just think there has to be more emphasis on getting the management of wildlife back to the department rather than to the producers. The producers are feeling as though we take care of our cattle 365 days a year, 7 days a week, and we get the, 5 o'clock rolls around, the department's done. So I heard from a lot of frustrated producers, and one of them of which is a very frustrated producer who has not heard from a conflict specialist for over a year now. And he's in one of these areas that I would be considered defined as a special focus area, and he hasn't heard from the department. So what good does this writing these words on this piece of paper do when we're not even following through with stuff that's happening right now? So I'm back to I'm really not sure why we need this section, and I completely frustrated with it. So.
Okay.
That's my 2 cents.
Now, thank you, Sammy. Caitlin?
Yeah, I am
still just taking the position of listening and learning. I would say to Sammy's comment, I think it's like if there are other frustrations between producers and the department, that should be attended to. But it also like, I think we're writing this to sort of help prevent future issues. So if we can sort of not conflate like what's presently happening with what we're working on, that might help us stay focused. Although like definitely understand how those frustrations and hearing from other constituents is influencing this conversation.
All right. Thank you, Caitlin. Robert Garcia, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at this language and if you wanted to offer any thoughts. Robert, if you're talking, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Sorry. I read it after Julia put the link up for the public to see it. And I think it looks pretty benign from the Forest Service standpoint.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I guess I would, I'd be deferring to the WAG members at this point relative to this part of the conversation. While I appreciate, in some aspects, quite honestly, Sammy's comments. I think that there needs to be a recognition that there are things that are actually offensive that are stated, and I don't think that's your intent, Sammy. But it certainly comes across that way because I know for a fact that we have a group of employees in this agency where 5 o'clock means nothing, and neither does a Saturday or a Sunday, and so. Make your points, get the point across, try not to be offensive.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Paula.
Yeah. So, in terms of the words on the page, I feel like we've, as a group, have made a lot of progress. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody's contributions. I appreciate the open dialogue. I don't have specific wordsmithing at the moment. But I am concerned about, so what Tom said at the beginning about recognizing that, getting this done was important for everyone and that he thought we could get there, you know, make it work for producers, make it work for conservation. That was really helpful and it gave me a lot of hope. But then the comments, subsequent comments about, I don't know why we need this in here. I don't think we need this in here, or this is all about, you know, causing more work for producers. That troubles me because lots of people have said many times that that's not what this is. That's not what this is about. And then I have to say this, and this is a thing about the way the WAG, when WAG is working well, there's a thing that happens, and that's mutual recognition of the needs of all of the groups and the people represented at the table. And I know that I personally have tried, and I've heard other of my conservation colleagues have tried really hard to acknowledge, listen, and problem solve around the issues that the producers have brought. But every time we hear a producer say, I don't think we need this section, or I don't want this section in here, it completely bowls over and ignores the needs that conservation has. And we've expressed these needs multiple times in this meeting, right? It's like, we need to have something and some way of acknowledging the social upset, and the really negative, both social and political dynamics that are created by having repeated lethal removals every year, especially on public lands. That's like, that's such an upset to the system. And for those of us who work for conservation groups, who represent sectors of the public that care about wolf conservation, to hear from producers that you don't want this section sound the way it comes across, the way it sounds to us, is that you don't acknowledge our needs and you don't acknowledge the vast or a vast sector of the Washington state public that is okay with occasional use of lethal control, understands that's necessary, is, you know, sympathetic to having, you know, making sure that the livestock industry that grazes on public lands can maintain their business. But where it goes too far when we have these areas of repeated lethal control, and that something different needs to be done. And so I think if we're going to continue to function well as a WAG, we on conservation anyway, need to hear more often an acknowledgement of the need for, acknowledgement of the issues that we face, as conservation representatives on the WAG, and being able to successfully negotiate language in this section to address this problem is a core need for us. And it would be really, really helpful to have more livestock members of the community acknowledge that for us. We're happy to work through the issues that are raised. We're happy to make sure that the words don't cause more hardship for producers, to have the words match the intent that we've said over and over again. And we're happy to do whatever we can to try to facilitate the issues that keep being raised about lack of trust in the department. And then, you know, you guys all that who know me know that I've worked my tail off year after year to make sure that in the legislature, legislators understand the need for the resources. And I've been able to help increase the amount of money that's spent on non-lethals. And so like we're in this, but it's really difficult. It's really demoralizing and really destructive, to not have, conservation needs about this section recognized by the producer community. It's really not helpful.
All right. Thank you, Paula. Dan?
Try a video. It doesn't freeze on me. I've got wife and kid also on the internet doing their things. But yeah, that was well said, Paula. I can't build on that too much other than talking about those core needs. It was a core need of the producing community to sort of take a step back and look at the roles and responsibilities. And so we were very happy and pleased to do that. And I think it's very, very important to us to be working in this group to address this repeat conflict areas. And the governor has also requested this as well. So this is very important for us. The words on the page, I think we've pushed and pulled sort of our positions enough. And it seems very balanced to me, well written. There can be some reorganization, of course, to highlight different points, but I think the content I'm very comfortable with. And so I want to thank everyone's work on this.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Donnie, you've provided input already, but I just wanted to give you space in case you wanted to say anything else right now.
Thanks, Rob. My feelings and emotions are high right now. So bear with me for a moment. So this is really hard stuff. We're taking the most challenging piece of, wolf livestock conflict, and we're trying to move this forward in a way that benefits everybody. You can't pick a more challenging topic and subject, and you're all being pushed and pulled by your communities and all of that. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that. And that I think we're all on the emotional roller coaster here. I also want to I can't emphasize enough how important this section is. The department needs it. You know, we need you to help us with this. All of Washington is asking for this. The governor's asking for this. The commission's asking for this. And it's not, and I want to say, and please, producers don't, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but, producers don't want to lose any more cows. We know that. When we go to areas again and again and again for lethal removal, it's because cows have died again and again and again, and then wolves die again and again. That's not working for anybody. So I can't emphasize enough how much we need this. Let's assume the best in each other because we are under stress. We, like I said on my intake or my opening remark, we haven't had the time together around the dinner table to be people, to be humans. It's taking its toll on us. We've in the past couple meetings, we've hit some kind of, red zone words that have offended people. Let's all take a deep breath and assume the best in each other. Keep working on this one. I think we're close. I don't think it's perfect. I think there's more work to do. But I think that out of all the ways that we could accomplish this, this collaborative process in all of you is the right way. I'll just stop there.
Thank you, Donnie. Dave Duncan.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Dave.
To Diane and Paula, there has been in the last week in my discussions with producers and people wanting to resolve this issue, there has been a lot of conversation about you guys' needs to have something. I think the resentment to this document is more on the department's part. I mean, producers feel like the department has really let them down over the years. And they feel that this document is reducing the responsibility of the department. I mean, it says attempt to understand the cause of the conflict, attempt to break the need for repeated lethal removal, might be associated with innovations, may include an evaluation of local ungulate populations. This is really kind of a policy and You can't have a policy without a firm directions. And the people I've talked to just feel like this is, the department is just letting them down again. They've let them down over the years. They have not performed according to the Wolf Plan, according to the legislative mandate. And this, they're just wiggling further out of this thing. And, it isn't a problem with at all with conservation community. Conservation community has stepped up when they needed to. They've backed us. We've tried to back them. Our problems are with the department. And I'll just quit there.
All right, Dave. Thank you. Candace?
I think I want to kind of echo at least a little bit what Donnie was talking about, is, you know, there is a lot of interest in this section. And, you know, I think if we can all come together and get a document moving forward or get this section moving forward, it doesn't mean that it has to be set in stone. It really should be looked at as, this is another opportunity to look at what we've done in the past, you know, maybe pick out some lessons that we can learn and see if we make these changes, see how they do affect, you know, things moving forward. You know, it is a frustrating thing, you know, to feel like we, you know, as field staff, we implement these things and, it doesn't quote unquote work. But I think a lot of the conversation is it's not, there isn't just a hard and fast answer for all of these things. It's how do you adapt? How do you look at the decisions that were made and how do you improve them? Or is there a way to improve them? I think this is a step in that direction. Do I think it's going to fix everything? Do I think it's going to quote unquote work and now everything is going to be sunshine and rainbows? No, but you have to keep coming back to the table. You have to keep looking at what you've done in the past and see if there's some changes that can be made. Can we do something with pilot projects? Can we do something with more heads together or better than one? It is hard and it can be extremely frustrating. Believe me, I see it on a regular basis, but that doesn't mean that we can't provide ourselves a path forward and keep trying, because you only fail when you quit. And I'm not willing to quit.
Thank you, Candace. Ben?
Yeah, I that's a good conversation. And I definitely, like Donnie and Candace, and Steve, I think there's a fair amount of emotion that I dealt with and kind of carried over even from the last WEG. I do take offense to some of the comments that I've heard. For a person that donates most of their summer away from his family to being up there in Northeast Washington or wherever stuff happens. I don't just quit at 5 o'clock. We are working. We are trying to alleviate these things. We're trying to take a holistic look at every one of these situations because they're all different, whether it's a private pasture, whether it's, an allotment, the number of cows, the situation, every one of them is different and they all have to be dealt with differently. With all the staff that I work with, work incredibly hard in the summer to do this stuff and we get very little respect. Before I went up on one of the things, the first time I talked to the producer, I got reamed out for half an hour before I got up there to go take care of, his cattle for, 2 weeks straight. And, that's the first conversation I had with that particular producer. It's tough to build those relationships and stuff. There's a lot of emotion built into a lot of this stuff. And, I feel like there's not one of our staff members that wants to see an injured cow, but we're also want to see wolves recolonize and see those populations rebound in the state as well. And so we're working hard to find that balance. And, we try and utilize this information that the WAG has put together and worked so hard to put these protocols together, and we try and, do our best to make this stuff, make this work for wolves and for livestock and for producers. And, this year we ended up with 5 dead cows. We had a number of injuries, some of them pretty superficial, but that definitely weighs in on that. But it's, all in all, I'd say a pretty good year. Given the number of cows we have in the state and the number of wolves right now. And we're working really hard to do that. And I feel like just getting a little respect for some of the stuff we do wouldn't hurt from time to time. And I think, we want to weigh this stuff out. We want to figure out a good path forward. And I appreciate everybody's advice and their values and bringing this stuff to the table so we end with a good product. But, I think this is an important section. It's something we've dealt with a lot. And I think moving forward with this, more of an emotional rant. I apologize. I don't normally do that, but I needed to get that out. So thank you.
No, thank you, Ben. And not just you, but the others. It's important for, I think, the group to understand those feelings. And so I don't think you need to apologize for that. Lynn?
I can appreciate everyone's perspective here. It makes sense. But I do think we need this section. I think we need to address this cycle that is repeated, and it's stated in the rationale of why we have this section. I see it as promoting and enhancing collaboration between all the entities, and versus trying to put a burden on producers. I think that, I'm sorry to hear that they feel that way about the department. I don't have personal experience. A lot of this does rest on the shoulders of the department to make it happen. And, I can't speak to that, but I think that we need the section, and we need to do whatever it takes to make it work. And it's going to take all of us to get that off the ground. So.
Thank you, Lynn. Diane?
Yeah, I think this is a really important conversation that we're having right now, and a lot's come into my mind, and so I'm going to need to sort it out a little bit before I respond. But I think it's a really good conversation to have. I also think that I view this as looking at this holistically. I look at typically what's good for cows and calves is going to end up being good for wolves. If there are fewer cows and calves that die, fewer wolves die, I think all of us want to try to do something different and maybe more enhanced or whatever to break a cycle of something that's bad for everybody. So that makes total sense to me. I will address just some of the department staff and your communications. I would say that it's really helpful that there's more now getting to the public about what your jobs are like and what you're doing. I think that's really helpful for all of us in understanding the really complex jobs that you have. And so I really appreciate that a great deal. And I'll end just hoping that, particularly in the state of Washington, that we can have kind of an entrepreneurial spirit of wanting to solve the problem and trying to come up with ways with that special focus. Usually with a focus on something, you have better luck at being able to solve an issue. And I kind of look at this as an opportunity to really focus and lessons learned that will serve us in the future. But we're looking out long-term too. So there's a lot that we're still learning about how wolves are using the habitat here in Washington and that sort of thing. So I can understand Dave Duncan's frustration, and I miss seeing you, by the way, Dave. I can understand Dave Duncan's frustration that it's not a hard and fast, we will do this by this to make this happen. And there are just too many variables for that. So somehow it's kind of like what I said earlier, we need to have some accountability without making it even a worse problem by dictating too much, because there are so many variables.
Thank you, Diane.
But I guess I'll say, just to be even longer, I believe we need to have this. I think if we as a WAG don't come up with language, the commission and the governor's office will. And I feel as though we'll have a more informed, relevant document by working on this within the WAG first.
Thank you, Diane. Julia.
Yeah, warning, my emotions are high right now too. You can add me to the list of people who are offended right now. I'm really shocked and really disappointed by some of the stuff that I've heard. I just feel like, we started this process and this conversation with good intentions. We started with this subcommittee of the five of us, Sammy and Lynn and Candace and Lisa and I, And think about that group of women you have there. That those are some very disparate viewpoints on that group. And talk about stopping work at 5. We worked well into the evening hours to bang out some of this language and to make it work for everyone. And I was really impressed with everybody who sat in, who was on those subcommittee groups to work through issues and to really speak in ways that they could be heard and speak to make themselves, you know, their views and their priorities known. And I feel like we came up with a good product, you know, a draft product, of course, but, you know, a good foundation to work with. To Tom, you know, Tom, I'm a writer too. I'm a writer. I'm an editor. I'm a peer reviewer, but I don't write things by myself. I don't write anything by myself for the department. Everything I write is written by a committee, written in WAG, written in a group. And it's reviewed by about a million people. And it should be, because I can never be as strong, whatever I can create alone can never be as strong a product as what this group can create together. And so I feel like when things are sort of written independently from the group and not including multiple perspectives, I worry about that setting us back. And I know that Tom, that you're coming with that with the best of intentions. You, of course, are a great writer as well and have a great way of putting ideas together. But I'm just a little lost as to what to do. And maybe the idea is to come up with a different subcommittee that is not the people who came up with this language. But I don't think that people should write the language by themselves without including people of the opposite perspective. Maybe the idea is let's create a different subcommittee with a different livestock producer, different environmentalist, different at-large person, different department staff, if there's so much language in there that people can't live with. You know, I know that all of us went into that document, you know, doing our darndest not to offend one group or another, not to use terms that are triggering for folks, because I know there are a lot of those. And I'm just pretty disappointed that didn't come through. And I'm a little lost at how it didn't come through.
Thank you, Julia. Anne Marie and Trent?
Trent here. Anne Marie had to go do her mortality investigation. Yeah, I'll agree with everything that the other staff members have said. I do think, you know, we've heard loud and clear that folks think that this section should be in the protocol kind of from around the state. And I understand that there may be disagreement on that, but like Donnie said at the beginning, like we need this, like folks are calling for this. That's why we're talking about it. And that said, I think, you know, to address like one of Dave's points about folks feeling like the agency hasn't done its job, I can understand that and I can sense that every day. But some of that comes down to the fact that when we write a document like in the way, folks walk away from that process with totally different ideas of what the document actually says the agency will do. And so some people think we're doing our job and other people think, hey, you're not doing your job. And we're stuck in the middle because there actually was an agreement to begin with and what the document actually said. And so that's where I come back to like making sure that whatever's written here, you know, Tom and Dave and Diane and Paula, everybody can agree like what the agency should do so that when we do those things, there's not that disappointment. I think that disappointment ultimately stems from the fact that people are reading these documents differently and they're understanding them differently. And like to just blame it on us instead of the fact that like we are reading the document as well and we're trying to abide by it to the best of our abilities. And maybe that's different than the way you read it doesn't mean that we are wrong. It just means that we're trying to do what the document says. We're trying to take that as guidance. And I get the frustration, but like giving up is not a way to like make it any better. And so I'm frustrated. And then to to get more on track, this section, I still don't feel comfortable about like the definition. You know, I don't feel comfortable about the fact that like, if we just picked an SFA, if the agency just went ahead, like given how it's written, picked an SFA right now, there would be folks, I think, in the WEG that would agree and disagree with that decision. And that makes me uncomfortable. That sets us up for more disappointment, like Dave mentioned earlier. That's why I think it's so critical to have this stuff laid out. That's all
thank
I have.
You. Yeah, thank you, Trent. Lisa?
So I was on the subcommittee and we did try to do the best we could on this one here. And the interesting thing, I kind of have a little bit different take with the subcommittee and Julia, I wanted to thank you for what you said too. We kind of looked at this and, you know, we were all trying to represent the different groups that are on WEG. And I felt like myself that this is a document that does need to be done. I do think it would be better done by WEG with department input so that there's a, you know, so the different groups are represented and do have that say. We tried to do the best we could. And the one thing I did take away from the subcommittee, and we worked a lot of hours on this, was we knew the document wasn't perfect, but we did feel when we were done that we had given it the best shot representing the different groups and the department that we possibly could. And I think my frustration isn't with the group. My frustration is that with Zoom, you know, we all do pretty good and we've really gotten used to the Zoom meetings, but that human element is definitely gone. And so I think it's really making this much more difficult than it might have been if we were able to meet together. I do think this is a document that we need to do. And I'm really hopeful that maybe we can think about why we're all on WEG and why we continue to stay on WEG. And maybe that'll help get this document through. That's it for me.
Thank you, Lisa. Jessica. Jessica, if you're talking, I can't hear you. Okay. Tom, I see your hand is raised, but I'd like to say something first. Julia, can I ask you to stop sharing your screen, please? All right, thanks. Donnie, thanks for suggesting going around the room. I think it was very helpful to get a sense where everybody's mind's at, so I appreciate that. You know, I think there was a lot of courage here and a lot of good intent, but just wanted to share my thoughts on that. It was important for this group to hear if, for example, some producers are frustrated with the relationship with the department. It was also equally important to hear from the department perspective how offensive that comes across. So I just want to point out that all that information is very valuable. I also heard everybody do it as respectfully as they tried to do it respectfully. I think there is good intent here. If you remember, one of our ground rules is to assume good intent, and I think we have that. But it's equally good to know, hey, where is the frustration? Where is the offensive language? So now it's out on the table and we can address it. I think that was a great, I've gained perspective from different members that I didn't have before because of what we just did. So I appreciate that. Tom, you had your hand raised.
Well, I don't think this was helpful at all. I mean, so I came into this meeting, wanted to have, and I still do, let's work together. Let's find a common way to get forward to the end of this thing that benefits all the parties at this table rather than having a crap fest where we just throw our dirty laundry on the table. I don't find that helpful at all. So I'm frustrated now. I wasn't when we started, but I still want to work together and
and accomplish something. And I don't feel that this exercise got us any closer to a common way of thinking for this language. Now, we've heard that many people, I think Donnie even said everybody wants this language. We know that's not true. There's some of us on this call that struggle with wanting this language, but it's important. So can we agree to just work together? Clearly, I heard my friend Dan say he likes the language as it is. Heard others say they don't like the language. I don't like the language as it is. Okay, what's the next step? Because where we're at right now, we're not going to get anything done. And so I just encourage, and I'm sorry that I offended you, Julia, for being for putting words on paper. What I'm trying to say by doing that is, I don't like the language as it exists. If we put, here's something that we could embrace. And if that's offensive to you, then you're going to have to just deal with that. For the rest of the group, I just say, take a look at it. It's something that maybe there's something there that we can embrace together and move forward.
Thank you, Tom. Paula?
So I appreciate, Tom, what you just said, and hope we can find a path forward. So I have a few things to say. But so the first thing is, on Tom's offering, if Tom, what it is working from the existing language, and you showed us, you had moved a few things around to try to better frame things. I don't think that's a complete rewrite, and I think that's really helpful. And so if the rest of what you have is along those veins, and you've been able to help the whole group see the kinds of words, and I asked for this originally too, the kinds of words that are tripping the producer community up, I think that's really helpful. And so I would like to see that, right? I think that at this stage in the game, I don't, and Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see your offering as a throwing away everything that was there and starting from scratch. I see it as taking what people have done and trying to make it closer to something that works for you guys. And so I'm willing to take a look at that, and I don't see it as being I don't see it as being overbearing. I do want to acknowledge, Julia, that I appreciate, I think what you were trying to do is protect a sense of fairness and collaboration in the group. And I do appreciate that, but I think there might have just been a talking past each other where that is what Tom was trying to do. So I'll leave that, but I had two other quick observations and I offer these just in hopes, that they can contribute to us moving forward together constructively. And so one is, I've heard reference several times to, the need for the department to manage wildlife and for the sense of connection between what's happening with ungulate populations and depredations. And I've wanted for a while to figure out how the WAG can spend more time meaningfully on the ungulate topic. And I think we need to do that. But I think there's a variety of perspectives on what the relationship is, at both a local scale and maybe a regional scale on ungulate population health and the extent to that, to when and how that does or doesn't contribute to livestock depredations. So I think that's a huge topic, and I don't think it's something that this section is going to solve. But I do wonder if we can have, if the language that's in there right now isn't satisfactory, if there can be a sentence or two that says that there will be some process or effort to better understand those linkages and figure out how to address them. I really agree with and empathize with the department's concern about, if it's vague, and I think Trent said this really well, if there's vague expectations, especially around something as meaningful and complex as ungulate populations in this section, people are bound to get angry at them for not doing something. And it's really hard to figure out what to do. So I just want to offer that I think it's worth, like when we wrap this section up, maybe we can devote a few meetings as WAG. And I think this is great setup for post delisting management too, to talk about, the relationship between ungulates, wolves and livestock, and try to get, a common understanding of the information that's out there, a common understanding of what it takes to understand those dynamics, and a common understanding of what it is that the department can and can't do. And that might help. That might help get us through this, but sort of, so A, I want to acknowledge it's an issue. B, I want to acknowledge it's a hard issue, and C, see if there's a way that we can not ignore it, but, maybe just put a circle around it for the purposes of getting this section done. And then devote more time as a WAG to try to untangle that knot in an additional process that doesn't sort of drag down this section.
Thank you, Paula.
Okay.
Hey folks, I think we're due for a break here. It's about 2:35, about halfway through. So why don't we take 15 minutes, and I'm going to put some thought into how we might help, you know, move forward on this, and we'll reconvene at 2:50. All right, thank you. The flashing of the cameras, I couldn't keep track quick enough last time, so I don't know if that was very useful for me. So I think right now I'm going to assume people are back. Before we dive back into the content, had a process question for the group too, and Donnie's like got two, he's got three hands up. He's got his virtual hand and two actual hands up.
Yes, I do.
I think that means Rob calling Donnie. So Donnie, go ahead.
Nick is in the attendees list, needs to be promoted. And so, Chris, if you can hear me, it's the number that ends in, Chris, can you hear me?
Yep, I was just waiting for you to list the number. Okay.
It's the number that ends in 7967. Let's see if he's back on. He just called me from the number. He might be calling in. Yeah, he's on. Yeah. Yeah, promote Nick.
It's not letting me actually promote. I can allow him to talk, though.
Yes, I'm sorry. Allow him to talk.
So 7967. He can
7967.
He can now unmute himself and talk to be part of the conversation.
And can you tell him he's listening now? Can you tell him how to mute and unmute on his cell phone?
Oh, let me go double check because I had it wrong last time. And I wrote it down though. Let me pull that document up real quick. I'm just waiting for my computer. So it should be star 6 should unmute.
Okay. Sorry everybody for that. Just wanted to get Nick in the fold.
Thank you, Donnie. Nick, can you hear us? Oh, I think you just muted yourself. Oh, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're coming in faint.
Yeah, I'm up in the middle of the range, so.
Okay.
Any better?
I guess we got you by voice. You're not in front of a computer.
No, I don't get any service. So, anyhow.
Well, it's good to hear your voice, Nick. Thanks for joining us.
Yep.
All right, we just came back for a break, and we're wrestling with language on what we're now calling special focus areas. So, I'm happy to follow up with you later if you feel lost in this conversation, and I can do my best to help get you caught up.
No, I was listening in the earlier session, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Nick.
Okay.
All right. Donnie, I'm lowering your hand unless there's something else you wanted to. Okay. All right. Now, process-wise question. Because this was an ad hoc meeting, I guess you'd call it. It wasn't one of our regularly planned. I planned on using the remaining time for members to address the content, as opposed to protecting half an hour at the end for public comment. I know we have members of the public listening here. I've already gotten some questions about, you know, public comments. So I'm looking for some guidance. You know, Donnie, I don't know if, for example, for you, I could protect that last hour for public comment, but we typically do that for regular meetings. And wanted to get you and any other members' thoughts on that.
We're scheduled to end at 4?
Yeah, we are.
I would propose if folks can stay till 4:30 that we work till 4 and have public comment from 4 to 4:30. I'm pretty protective of the public comment period. They've been, we haven't had over in a year the same sort of opportunity for them that we've had in a live WAG meetings, and so on. That's a tough one for me.
Thanks, Donnie. Julia?
Not voting either way, but we did not advertise that this meeting was open for public comment, just so that you guys know.
All right. Diane?
Oh, okay. My comments might change based on what Julia just said, because I wondered if there was anything in the advertising that said that it was not, that there wouldn't be public comment. But there wasn't anything that said there would be. So it's kind of neutral. So people would expect, because this would be the first meeting we wouldn't have it. So they may expect it. I have a hard 4 o'clock stop. It's not just about me, but others may too. I guess I would just ask that we make sure to capture the public comment, as I think we did the last meeting, so that I can make sure that I read that and have that input for our next meeting.
Thank you, Diane. So I know there's going to be at least two of our membership that's going to have to leave before 4 o'clock, but that would still leave quite a bit of us, and I'll be happy to capture the notes. So right now I propose let's go to 4. Those that have to leave, hey, you have to leave. But the rest of us can stay back for public comment, and I'll take notes again like I have before. All right. Next on the content. Proposed step forward. So we have the committee, the subcommittee language that we've been wrestling with over the last couple of meetings. You know, we have some general support for the content there. We have one member who's not happy with the content and has recommended particular language change. And we have another member expressing an interest in seeing that. And to me, that's a logical place to start. Is let's see what this member's proposing. And now to caution you a little bit, we've got that document. It might be cumbersome if we need to flip back and forth to documents. So I'd encourage you on your computer screens, for those that can, and sorry, Nick, maybe have the subcommittee version up or somewhere you can see it. So if we show the new or a different language, you'd have some way to compare it. So I'm going to pause in case there's any objections to that approach. Diane.
Not so much an objection to the approach, but I guess we're at 3 o'clock with an hour left. And I felt like there still needed to be conversation about the actual definition.
Hmm.
So I guess my question is, if we don't address that now, when will we be addressing it? That to me is key to everything else that follows, is all of us agreeing to what do we really mean by this. And it may be that people feel comfortable with what we currently have. I guess I'd be really interested in hearing from department staff too. And if this isn't the right time, fine. But I guess when will it be the right time?
Great. And Diane, just so I understand, you're talking about the definition for a special focus area. Okay, got it. Donnie?
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's looking at what Tom provided, what he read, and then what he provided in the chat. There was a first piece of that, if I read it right and looking at it right, there's that first piece that's a couple statements, and then kind of the definition stuff follows. And so if we try to tackle that nugget and then I think we kind of get to some of the stuff that Tom had brought to the conversation, but also as Diane said, in our discussions within the department, getting the definition of these areas hashed out is a really important step for us right now. So I'm wondering,
all right,
if that,
great, thank you.
I'm wondering if that nugget kind of gets to a lot of people's need.
I think it provides a focus for us. You know, we can take on, you know, tackle a very important bite-sized chunk at least. I'm going to pause in case anybody has any challenge to that or other options. Okay. So let's tackle the definition. What defines or constitutes a special focus area? Julia, I'm kind of talking out loud here. So, you know, I'm not sure how easy or hard it would be to, for example, pull up the subcommittee's definition. And then is there a way to cut and paste, you know, Tom's wording onto the same document and we can compare them a little easier? And so I think I saw her nod her head. She's going to give it a try. So let's pause and give her some time to do that. And Nick will try and remember to read for you when it's an appropriate time to do so.
I had a quick question for Tom. Tom, in the bolted list part of that, where it's the definition part, was there new stuff there, or were you reorganizing original content?
Tom, we can't hear you if you're talking.
Sorry, my technical difficulties. Boy, I think that it's largely the same. At least the first sentence, and then the what's in red there is new language, again, based partly on what was in the right-hand column there.
Thank you, Tom.
All right.
So just so it's clear to everyone, I pulled out that language in red that Tom proposed, and it's right next to the language that Sammy captured at the end of the last WAG meeting. So you can sort of look at them side by side.
All right. Let's give people a chance to read, and then yeah, thank you, Julia. And then go ahead and raise your hand if you'd like to comment on it after you take a minute to look it over and compare. Tom?
So I was just going to add, so this, as I was working on this, I kept thinking about comments Trent and others made at the last meeting and really thinking, and as Trent said today, you know, clarification on just exactly what one of these areas is, how do we know it when we see it? That's where I think having the staff ground truth that either now or later, but so that it actually works. What I was trying to accomplish here is starting that more to clarify what an SFA is.
Thank you, Tom. you know, and I think for staff that are participating and reading this, I think the group would benefit from your thoughts on that too, as you know, going back to Trent's concern about how clear it actually is. Sammy?
I'd like to see the part where it says packs of six or more should be evaluated based on risk. I think when the pack numbers start really getting up there, maybe it needs to be seven or eight. The staff would have to tell us better, but these larger packs, and there's some packs of nine, I think that those need to be looked at in an effort to prevent the problem before there's a problem.
All right. Thank you, Sammy. Any thoughts on Sammy's question or recommendation? Paula?
So I agree it's a good thing to look at, but I wonder if there's additional criteria by which you would make the determination. And again, going back to Trent's point about, you know, if they evaluate a pack of six or more and say, you know, we don't have any reason to believe this one's going to be a problem. And then someone else says, well, no, I think it is. And then that just becomes another point of contention. I wonder if there's, you know, if department staff or others have ideas about the conditions under which a pack of six or more would then, either, you know, qualify for an SFA or just qualify for additional scrutiny. And I remember there were discussions in past years about department staff trying to prioritize areas that they would, you know, if they had limited resources to assign range riders, you know, were there a set of criteria that they could look in an area and say, hey, we want to put resources here? And it was, this wasn't necessarily a chronic conflict zone, but it is getting at that thing that Sammy was talking about. So anyway, I mean, just my point is, I think it's a good idea. And is there additional information about the circumstances under which a pack of six or more would warrant additional consideration versus conditions that they wouldn't? So department can be clear with people about their decision making.
All right, thank you, Paula. Trent?
Yeah, to address both what Paula said to a small degree and Sammy's point, we internally, we do consider things like pack size and composition. Just as Sammy says, we already currently kind of recognize that larger packs, due to their increased caloric demand, are oftentimes a greater risk for depredations, but it's not necessarily a given. You know, one of the other things that comes into play in those situations is the amount of livestock overlap that pack has. You know, some packs might have one allotment that they overlap and they might be a dozen wolves, or another pack might have, you know, 100% of its territory occupied by various grazing allotments. So like, it's the amount of overlap, both spatial and temporal, the size of the pack, and then to Dave's points, you know, what the ungulate population is doing. You know, while there's not a ton of research indicating that ungulate density or distribution has any influence on depredation activity, what research there is, and while it's scant, kind of just seems to show that, you know, in areas with highly migratory ungulate herds, packs may be forced into some sort of situation where they might have to switch to another prey source because their winter prey source has moved out. But that's pretty shaky stuff. But like the ungulate stuff does kind of roll into the mix there. But just to give everybody an idea that we already do think about those things. As far as SFAs go, this is just my opinion and I could be talked out of it. I guess I'm just a little bit leery of including pack size only because these areas in my mind tend to be areas where we have depredations kind of regardless of pack size. It's just like every time a pack of wolves moves in, whether it's 3 or 4 or 7 or 8, we have these recurrent issues. And so I feel like by putting a pack size in there, we might miss some of the ones that we think are obvious.
Thank you, Trent. Dan?
Yeah, building upon what Trent just said. So I hear it and I actually like it. If it's like, you know, one of several considerations. To me, it how I'm interpreting it is that it's looking to work with the producer, identify that there's a large pack there, and they getting preseason non-lethals in place, getting more resources available to sort of mitigate for potential problems going forward. So it just opens up communication more. I don't think a pack size should be like an automatic trigger, but I think it should be one of the things that should be considered, because it can only benefit everybody if, because we sort of know pack sizes, it can be a determining factor. So not looking to avoid lethal altogether, right? Just to have more direct communication with producers before it starts.
Thank you, Dan. Donnie?
Yeah, thanks, folks, for a good conversation on this one. A couple things that are kind of floating around in my head, and is I think in my mind when I think of these areas, the core part is a pattern of depredations that resulted in a lethal removal decision in 2 of the last 3 years. Right, that's the core part to me, because we are you know, using non-lethal and lethal tools, and yet this pattern is occurring over multiple years. So that part is feels core to me. The part about because in the definition, I'm just reacting to it's just for conversation, where it says a special focus area exists with one or more of the following. So the bottom bullet that is, you know, the area has experienced at least 4 confirmed depredations. So that could be any area that had lethal removal at that point. And I don't know if that's what we're trying to identify. You know, at some point resources are always limited, right? So we're trying to identify where are those really challenging areas where we can focus these resources. And if we identify every area that had lethal removal, I'm worried it's going to dilute our resources and our effort. And so I want us to be more focused to, when we asked at the last meeting staff, what are the areas that would come to your mind? And I can't remember the exact list. I think it was Togo, Kettles, and Wedge, but let's think about those things that really define those few areas where we can put some resources. And then the other one is, I'm wondering if the definition, maybe the definition is very solid and clear and concise, and said, you know, the part about, you know, repeated depredations and lethal removal were 2 or 3 years, but the department also considers these elements as they think about this, right? Because like Trent said, I listen to them every year. They're talking about the ruggedness of the terrain. They're talking about the pack size. They're talking about the pack composition. They're talking about the behavior of the pack at the tail end of the last grazing season, where the pack has been through the winter, how many producers in the area, what those operations are like. There are so many variables that they're thinking about, but that we can't pack all that into this because it's very complex.
Thank you, Donnie. Diane?
So Donnie, when you say that 2 out of 3 years is core to you, is that something where you as department staff feel as though that's a core piece of the definition that describes these areas in the past?
Thank you, Diane. Yes, I missaid it. I was just reading it as the example there, two out of 3 years. No, we have not, that's part of what we need to do as a team here with department staff is it 2 out of 3 years? Is it 2 out of 4 years? Is it 3 out of 5 years? What is the time frame?
So yeah, and that's my concern is how do we balance making sure we've got a clear definition that everyone understands with not having specific numbers that don't really reflect what we know is historical in the recurrent conflict. So I'm still struggling with that. And, you know, initially I thought that being able to just say recurrent conflict with, you know, cows and wolves dying. But I'm really interested in hearing from department staff their recommendations in that area, because I couldn't come up with something that I felt was a strong enough definition, but not irrelevant because it's too specific.
Thank you, Diane. Julia?
One of the things that I was asked to do to prepare for this meeting was just to, you know, have the depredation info ready if needed. So I've just been looking over it as I listen to you all here, and just something that's struck me as I'm looking at this data. You know, so in 2016, you know, if we count each year individually, if we're counting 2020, it's 5 years, right? The packs that I have listed under packs that depredated are profanity, of course, smack out, dirty shirt, to cannon. But, you know, the others were just a few depredations, really just profanity. So profanity, you know, is, or at least that pack is gone, but the area is there, right? Then if you look at 2017, it's still just packs that we don't really talk about at the forefront of our minds right now. Sherman, smack out, I guess, is still the dirty shirt to cannon. But then when you look at 2018, 2019, 2020, that's when the packs that maybe we might think about at the forefront of our minds come out. You have Grouse Flats and Togo and Wedge and smack out, OPT, Lead Point. So just thinking about that stuff, it makes me wonder, or two questions rise to my mind is it 3 years is kind of like a cusp of where maybe, you know, there's something that maintains or loses relevancy, or is it longer because it's area based and not pack based, where I think about profanity and OPT. So just some thoughts, I think, as I look at the data, and I wanted to voice those since you don't all have the data in front of you.
Thanks, Julia. Ben?
Yeah, sorry, trying to find all the buttons. Yeah, just to kind of follow up with Julia's point, I think it's important that we consider the area kind of rather than the pack name, because where we did the removal of Sherman happened to be as they shifted into profanities territory. So I think there's a lot to the area specifically, not necessarily just the pack name. Packs can shift, animals can change over time and that, but there's a number of these areas that we seem to be coming back to. And so just to kind of bring it back to that area topic rather than the pack.
Thank you, Ben. And so Ben, I'm thinking about what you said, and I'm looking at the proposed definition bullet. Incremental lethal removal has been authorized in 2 of the last 3 years. You know, is your, at least your initial idea, you know, in the same area, you know, adding a phrase like that at the end?
Yeah, I think something just to bring it back to that area point rather than the pack itself.
All right. Johnny?
Kind of prompting what Diane asked, what do folks think about, we kind of talked about it last time, but are we solid on it? And I'm picking on staff a little bit on this one. As you were thinking about last time and, you know, the Togo kettles, the areas, right? Togo, Kettles, Wedge, not pack names, areas. Is it two in out of three consecutive years? Does that fit those examples? Does it not?
All right. Thanks, Donnie. I'm going to pause, see if any staff are willing to share their thinking on that. Candace?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I know the biggest part, though, you know, and I keep, you know, coming back to this, and Trent brought it up too, is we need to make sure that we get that feedback from you guys of what you think that looks like. I mean, I know when we're doing our preseason meetings, you know, with different staff and the district team, I mean, we're thinking about it kind of more on a continuum other than kind of these arbitrary, like, oh, it's within the last 3 years. I mean, we're looking at it on this long continuum more specifically. So I just want to make sure that we're getting the feedback from all of you guys so that we do have a document that helps us, you know, try to meet those expectations, that WAG members have and the communities you represent have. But I would say, I know we need to pick a timeline, and I would say the 2 to 3, you know, 2 and 3 years or whatever that looks like is good. But I know I'm thinking about it more kind of long term. But just my thoughts.
And when you say long term, Candace, that's obviously longer than 3 years. Do you have a ballpark, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually how long I've been with the agency.
Oh, okay.
Like I'm thinking about, I mean, I've been involved with stuff all the way up until like Wedge. I was not the original Wedge. And so I'm thinking about that, but I, you know, as things are sometimes cyclical, and so kind of looking at like, does it look like there's a pattern that's emerging? But I think for these in particular, I think the 2 out of the last 3 years, I think is a good mark, but I really want to make sure we hear from WAG members and stakeholders to make sure that fits kind of what your guys' vision is.
All right. Thank you, Candace. Any other staff want to offer their thoughts or any WAG member want to respond to Candace's request? Ben?
Yeah. I agree with Candace, kind of that incremental removal in the 2 of the last 3 years. I guess I don't want to fall into, you know, I look at the last statement of having experienced 4 or more confirmed livestock depredations in the prior year. I think, you know, we've got a protocol in place that identifies some of those areas, but we're with this particular section, we're looking at chronic areas that we want to get back to. And so if we've been to that point where we're doing incremental removals and even up to a full pack removal in the last 2 years or 2 out of the last 3 years, then I think that's where it kind of rises to these special focus areas. I'm trying to think, like Donnie had mentioned, or think about having the, when I think of these, I think of Togo, I think of particularly profanity, the Kettles Pack area, that general vicinity on the Kettles Crest. The Wedge, we haven't had a lot, and we happened in 2012 and then again this past year, but hadn't had a ton in between that time and a ton of activity. And so I think it's something that we would always look at for the following year, and we're always weighing where our resources should go based on the previous year's activity, just following our protocol. But this is kind of supposed to stand out to where are our critical needs. And I think about the Kettles when I think about our critical needs, even like Smackout, where we seem to always have a few depredations every year in there. And so trying to figure out how to pull those particular pieces out and what makes them different. So that, I don't think the full pack removal necessarily is a great deal, and I don't think just the confirmed depredation is a great metric of that.
Thank you, Ben. Candace?
Yeah, I think Ben brought it up kind of at the end, and I know internally we've been kind of mulling this around is so that first bullet of the full pack removal. I think that you should reword that so that it says something more like, you know, within a territory or within an area, multiple, lethal removal, authorizations have occurred, or something like that. Because, I mean, I think the full pack piece is important to kind of note because that could, indicate a change in the wolves that are using that area or refilling back in that area. But I also think it needs to capture, you know, locations where we've had multiple incremental removals. I think that's important to note.
Thank you, Candace. Honey?
I've got a question. Thank you folks for that discussion. That helps me get my head around it. I've got a question for the producer type community folks, members, anybody really, but this one's pointed to that. So we know as we have this conversation, we kind of gloss over it. When we say it's, you know, multiple or it's lethal removal decisions or attempts over, you know, 2 out of 3 consecutive years in an area, pack area, pack territory, we know that that means that there were depredations that had to happen to get to that lethal removal decision. But what the words are on paper, I'm asking the producer stuff, is that one of the things that feels like it's a miss for you? Should we be calling out and being more explicit in saying, repeated depredations and loss of livestock over 2 of 3 consecutive years and the associated lethal removal, should we be calling that out so it doesn't feel like I don't like this word, but that the criteria is just lethal removal, right? I wonder if we should be validating this is a problem and a challenge both in terms of dead livestock and dead wolves.
Thanks, Donnie. Anybody would like to offer their thoughts on Donnie's questions? No takers? Sammy, can I just call you and ask you what you think?
I think his question was a little confusing is what I think.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Yes, Sammy, I think it was too. I was a little verbose about it. Should we be explicit and break apart and say the criteria are the repeated depredations over 2 of 3 consecutive years and then kind of end that statement and repeated lethal removal attempts over the same 2 or 3 consecutive years of, should we be acknowledging both of those pieces?
I don't find that necessary personally.
Okay. Okay.
We have lethal removal because we have depredations. So I can read between those lines.
Thank you, Sammy. That's what I needed to, cause I want to make sure, like we talked about, that the wording, we don't offend or move past something and not knowing that there was a reaction. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Donnie and Sammy. So, you know, when I was listening to the staff talk and give their thoughts on defining this special focus area, in a general sense, it seemed like there was at least, you know, cautious recognition that the incremental lethal removal authorized in 2 of the last 3 years was reasonable. But reluctance on the other two red in the, if I'm looking at the red section, there was reluctance, you know, on the other two bullets. And I think specifically on the 2 and 3 years, the staff were asking, you know, hey, WAG members, how does that sound to you? Does that sound reasonable from your stakeholder perspective? So I think I heard that. I wanted to ask if any members had a reaction to that. All right. Lynn, what about you? What's your reaction to that?
I think it should be in there. I think that, you know, if we've had lethal removal in two of the last 3 years, there's a problem, whatever it may be. And that's what this section is for, is to try to figure that out. I think, you know, why would you wait longer to, you know, focus on it?
So 3 year period is about right from your perspective, it sounds like. Is that true?
It's true. I think 3 years, you know, two of the last 3 years, you know, it's a long enough period to say that there's something going on there, without letting it get too carried away.
Okay. Thank you. Bill?
Yeah, this is interesting discussions and stuff. So let me go back and sort of like raising hands when you have 10 hands up in the circle. You sometimes you're a bit late, but you know, the pack numbers of six or more, you don't know, that could be adults. That could be two adults and four pups and stuff. I think the department has a control of that. If they're watching the larger packs, that doesn't need to be here. This is recurrent conflict. Of the four or three bullets in the red, the bottom bullet on the four or more confirmed depredations, you know, that's really covered under the 3 and 3 months and the 4 and 10 months. That's the department's going to take care of that anyway. So really it comes down to just those two. And I think the incremental lethal removal in two of the last 3 years should probably be the first bullet. And then a second comment about the full pack removal and stuff. I think that should need to be in there, but that should be the second one for the definition.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Hey, Nick, are you following this? It's probably hard for you on the phone. All right, Nick. Dave, with, you know, what are your thoughts on the staff question about 2 and 3 years?
I think I would be happy either way. I don't think there's much difference.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Donnie?
So I want to make sure I'm tracking the conversation. I feel like I'm a bit slow today. I know I am other days too, but today's one of them. So it feels like kind of where we're this kind of straw dog, if you will, from what Tom has offered here is starting with the second bullet. Incremental lethal removal has been authorized in two of the last 3 years. And then dropping the first sentence and then grabbing the second sentence of the second bullet. If recolonization has not occurred, that area is not a blah, 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 blah. Is that kind of where the group is going? And if so, I wanted to check in with Tom and see what he thought. Cause I think what I'm hearing is, I heard a couple staff talking about it may not be full pack removal as a criteria. It's really this incremental removal, and then Sammy confirmed, yeah, that means there's depredations too. And then, you know, what Bill just talked about in that third bullet, yeah, that's taken care of somewhere else. So I wanted to just do it, make sure I'm tracking right. And if I am, you know, Tom, what are your thoughts on that?
The infamous quote from the state Supreme or the U.S. Supreme Court regarding pornography. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it, you know. And so when we have an SFA, you know, how do we know that we have one? And so I, again, whatever, it needs to work on the ground. It needs to be something that, that department staff feel comfortable that they've reached the moment that this, okay, this is now falls under a definition of an SFA, and that those of us looking from the outside in could say, yes, we could see how department staff has reached that decision point. So whatever, I guess I just again say, I lean on the folks that work this on the ground, what they're comfortable with and what, how this matches up with reality.
Thank you, Tom. You can shut me up anytime, Rob. You don't have to let me talk.
Well, I'm going to interrupt just one point. I think one of the recommendations was in that first bullet to add the phrase somewhere in there about in the same area.
Yes.
Maybe at the end. But yeah, Donnie, please go ahead.
And while Julia's works or working to put that in.
Sorry for quibbling. Hang on. Isn't that already there? They are areas, geographic pack territories, regardless of name.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Oh,
all right. I think we just want to make sure the idea is there.
I wanted to go with, I won't repeat it, but Tom's Supreme Court comment. Would it be useful for us to quickly look at the last 3 years and tell you what packs would have meant that, met that?
Yes.
Now, Donnie, I know you brought numbers with you. Is that useful to do now, or is it something we do for them later?
Staff, please jump in. Speak up. Is that something we could do on the fly right now? Do you have it handy, or?
I could do it with if the field staff will correct me for whatever. Okay.
We'll work on the side here, and while we're still massaging language, and kind of get that for you. Where I'm coming from is just that I want, as we work on this, that we've got some clarity and we kind of know what that, what would that definition mean if we applied it for the last 3 years?
If we're doing that, are we, sorry, just so I understand, are we following this? Are you wanting to know where has incremental lethal removal been authorized in the last 2 or 3 years? Is that the question that you're asking?
Yes.
So that I think we can do right now if you want.
All right, any WAG member, please push back on me if I'm wasting folks' time.
All right, Julia, why don't you share with, you know, what the data would say right now?
Okay. And staff who have been here much longer than me, correct me if I got this wrong. So you've got Grouse Flats, you've got Lead Point, you've got Togo, you've got Wedge, you've got OPT, you've got Smackout. I don't know if I said Smackout already. You've got, well, if we're just looking at the past 3 years, I'm not going to say profanity or anything like that. So it would just be Grouse Flats, OPT, Smackout, Togo, Wedge, Lead Point. That's it.
Paula?
So I thought we were talking about incremental removal in 2 of the last 3 years. Is that the definition we're working on?
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Oh. So Wedge is not, Wedge is only 1 year, right?
I misunderstood. I thought it was like in any 1 of the last 3 years.
Oh, no. 2 of the last 3.
So that. You would take Wedge out of there and maybe Smack out as well. Wait, no, you'd probably keep Smack out after that.
So let's work through that list. So let's just confirm them. Grouse Flats, I think Jeff's on, and Sammy, you know, we've had incremental lethal removal in 2 of the last 3 years, correct?
No.
No.
One of the last three.
No. Okay. That's a no. Togo. Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to call it the Kettles, which is the greater OPT, you know, area. So kettles, is that a yes?
Yes.
Smack out?
Yes.
Wedge?
No.
Lead point?
No.
Okay, so under that first bullet, we would have Togo, the greater kettles, and smack out.
Ben has his hand up, Donnie. Go ahead, Ben. Ben, I think you're still muted.
Smacko, we just had lethal removal in 17 and 18. We didn't have it in 19 or 20, so it'd be out by a year.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah. It's all merged together.
I know.
All right. So we'd have two, right, Donnie? That's what I got?
Yes, two.
All right. Now from, you know, it's, it almost looks like, is one bullet enough? You know, is that one bullet enough of a definition? And, you know, I'm interested in hearing it from the staff side as well as from the stakeholder side.
Hey, Rob, are you there?
Yeah, Nick, go ahead.
When you talk about lethal removal authorized, how about, is this actually occurred, or is this, it was authorized but never implemented?
Good question, Nick. I think it was authorized, whether or not it was actually implemented, and members, correct me if I'm wrong. Anne-Marie?
Yeah, I think it's kind of maybe a semantics. I can't think of an instance when lethal removal has been authorized that we didn't try to remove wolves. So in my opinion, that would mean implemented. I think the question ultimately is, were wolves removed? And there have been occurrences where it was authorized, the agency tried to remove wolves and was unsuccessful. But I just want to, just because language is important, to be clear that if it's authorized, we implement it.
Correct. I guess it wasn't successful. So I guess, would we also be evaluating the non-lethal not working as far as, and also that the lethals weren't implemented also?
So Nick, I'm going to ask just because I'm not sure I caught that. So are you asking if it's authorized, but we actually do not remove any wolves, whether that counts? Is that what you're asking?
Well, or is that part of the review process?
Okay.
You know, it says, you know, a lot of this, you know, about the producers and non-lethal, but, you know, the producers may want to look at it as, well, you guys didn't, you've authorized it and it didn't occur. So is that a failure on your part? As a failure of the non-lethal is looked at, so just something to think about.
Oh, okay. All right. Got a few hands up. Paula?
Yeah, a couple things. And so, Nick, I'm just responding maybe to the way you're phrasing things, but I think from a lot of people's perspectives, when the non-lethals don't work, it's not necessarily the producer's fault. And so I just want to make that clear. When non-lethals don't work, there could have been resource limitations. There could have been, they were implemented to the best of everybody's abilities, but they didn't work that year. And in hindsight, people could adjust, how they thought about implementing them. So I just wanted to, cause there's been a lot of discussion about the, need for more non-lethals being seen as blaming the ranchers or putting more work on the ranchers. And I just wanted to clarify that, at least from my perspective, that piece of it, just because we're talking about the need to evaluate the non-lethals, it's not It's not about blaming the rancher. And then I just wanted to comment in general about, I do think that even if wolves weren't removed, but there were enough livestock depredations to require the authorization and attempt at non-lethal, then that should qualify the area. And everything should be on the table in terms of evaluation about whether or not the fact that no wolves were removed, did that contribute to an ongoing pattern of depredations the next year? So I do think if the question on the table is, should we include 2 out of 3 years, even if wolves weren't removed, I would say yes, for multiple reasons. A, because there's a lot of depredations, and B, everything should be looked at in terms of, all factors should be looked at in terms of contribution to an ongoing pattern.
Thank you, Paula. Ben?
Kind of to get to Nick's comment there too, and what Trent said, just to reiterate, you know, if we go into lethal removal, we're going to be trying to carry that operation out, but we, a lot of times we'll focus our efforts into something that's going to stop those depredations or try and break that behavior of wolves to be depredating. So we might be trapping in a specific pasture. We might be, you know, it might be using the helicopter and trying to remove wolves, but that might be enough to disrupt that behavior of the wolves that they stop depredating. And we've seen that work where we haven't removed a wolf out of there, but we've seen depredations curb beyond our 30 days and our even 10-month window at times. So just because a wolf isn't removed, that doesn't mean that the pack hasn't changed behavior. And so, you know, I think the incremental lethal removal being authorized, I think, is a better way to determine it, because it put us into that situation and we had depredations for several years. And so there's a behavior at that point, but something curbed that behavior, whether that was our actions to try and remove wolves or whatever. So I like that in the definition as just being authorized rather than wolves actually being removed.
Thank you, Ben. Candace?
Nope, that was from before. I think the other staff has answered most of the next thing. The only thing I will say is that we do talk about when we're doing our preseason stuff, but then also when we have any types of depredations in those same areas where there's been a lethal removal attempt and we haven't removed any wolves. You know, how we thought that, you know, that's going to play out on recurrent depredations and things like that. So it is discussed, just so that, you know, we do look at everything holistically, because all of those things potentially could play a role.
Thank you, Candace. Donnie?
I was going to pick on Tom a little bit. Tom, to you, kind of the way we know it when we see it. Any reactions to that first bullet, and then kind of looking back through time that would flag the greater kettles where we've had a few packs, and then the Togo?
I guess, I mean, I like the simplicity. If we can go with one bullet and that covers the need, and again, I'm relying heavily on the ground experts, then I like that. And I don't know how, I think that this would be one of the areas I'm not sure the producers would have an issue with, because it's a known problem area. If indeed it meets that requirement.
Thanks, Tom. Sorry, Rob, I'm talking too much again.
I'll let you know, Donnie.
Okay. I would like to hear reactions from the environmental community also. Any reactions to that first bullet and kind of knowing what that would. I
ID looking backwards.
How about Dan? What do you think?
Sorry, I'm mute. I'm okay with that first bullet.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks. Lynn, what about you?
Good with it.
And Paula, does that make sense to you?
Yep. I think it might be good to talk about if there are any additional criteria we want, but this criteria makes sense. I think this was our original search image. So.
All right, Dan?
Oh. Yeah, just on that note, exactly. I'm not sure if this is the only, I don't think we're at the point where this is the only one we're going to discuss, but yeah, I want to still see if there's other things that make sense too, in addition.
All right, thank you, Dan. Okay, so we got about 10 minutes and we can use those 10 minutes, but I just want to check in with the group about next steps. Especially we've lost one member. We've got another member that has to leave by 4. I think however far we get here, this is probably going to be the start point for our next meeting. One other thing, what was it? I lost the bubble on that one. But what do we do next? Questions before we spend our remaining time here going to the public and then going to the public? Julia?
Just wanted to point out that I wrote in this document, I just reworded this bullet so that it was in an active voice, and I just wanted to make sure that that was okay. And if so, are we okay with deleting these? Or do we want to keep them and talk about them more? Do we want to move forward? I just want to sort of see what people think.
All right. Thanks, Julia. Donnie?
A couple things. Thank you, Julia, for doing that. It's just a few words on paper, but it feels really good. I feel better than I felt an hour ago. A whole lot better. And I'm wondering, knowing that there are some other elements here that members want to, tweak and that kind of stuff. Using this last 10 minutes to figure out how to make progress in between now and the next meeting. And, from some of the things we painfully shared this morning and, so that, we are, we can improve our process.
Thank you, Donnie. So I'm pausing. I'm reflecting on Donnie's question. Based on the frustrations we heard this morning, how do we want to, we're not going to solve this now, today. Our next meeting, by the way, is scheduled for January 6th and 7th, after the new year. One thing I was thinking about was tough between last meeting and this. It wasn't a lot of time for cross-member talk. I've had talks with some of the members and where it would benefit if outside our meeting, to have time to even share your ideas, test ideas, better understand difficulties. So I guess I'd encourage that between now and January. But other than taking whatever progress we got today, talking to the people you represent, talking to each other, I don't know if there's another step, another concrete step we can take on this right now. So that's what's going on in my head. Diane?
So Donnie, what kind of feedback loop needs to happen with the commission and the director? I guess my concern, you know, whenever you work on documents and then it's got to go through another loop, is there a way that there can be an interim loop again with them to make sure that we're meeting what they were also looking at?
Yeah, good. That's where I was going, Diane. Thank you.
Okay.
I won't use my color for word that I do a lot of times, but this is not the ideal situation. We're in this virtual world, you know, when there's no, it's just not, we're trying to make it work and we're struggling. So I just acknowledge that. And so is there a step now where, I say this, it's draft, 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 but we clean this up a little bit, circulate it back to you. We don't lose content, but we clean it up like Julia was doing there. We grab these last two bullets, we put them in the margins, say, hey, WAG still may want to talk about these, and let you all react to it in writing, right? Not, and I would ask you not the pages of writing, but yes, I want to spend more time working on this, or no, this, I can live with this part, or that sort of thing, so that we have something that as a team, that before the January meeting, that we could kick off to the Wolf Committee and kick off to JT and invite them to the next meeting and say, hey, we'd really like to hear your reactions to what we're working on before we get too much farther down the road. Something along that lines where it's early enough where we're not disappointed if one of those entities say, oh, I can't live with this piece, that we're still got some places to move it in our sandbox. But that would mean that we kind of use a less than perfect process to clean this up, get some general feedback back about you're sending out a draft, draft, draft to the next group to look at and asking them to join you.
And so Donnie, are you asking if what Julia is able to help us clean up here today, is that the draft, draft, draft that you're intending to share? Or is there an intermediate step where I heard a request from you where, hey, WAG members, take the cleaned up version and share back with you, hey, I'm comfortable with these parts. Hey, these parts I'm still uncomfortable with.
Good clarification. And I'm off the cuff here, folks. So let's work on it together.
Sure.
On what this process is going to look like. I never want to send something out to another entity without you knowing exactly what we send out. So I'd ask Julia to and others to help clean this up. Not to lose any of your content though, just to move it to the side or whatever. And then we would send it to you and say, okay, are we okay with sending this now to the Wolf Committee and to JT? And if there's a part here that you're struggling with being able to it's a draft open document, but I want you to see it before we kick it off to those entities. And I want you to be able to react. I would save your wordsmithing and your changing nuggets till our January meeting.
All right. Thanks, Donnie. That helped me, but do any WAG members have questions about that? Okay. Julia, I see your real hand going up. Go ahead.
I'm too lazy to raise the digital hand. Just a clarifying question so I know, you know, what we're cleaning up. Did I hear consensus or like basic consensus that WAG wanted this rationale moved up, or was it just the first bullet moved up, or was it all of them? Or should I just leave them for now?
I guess my offering, Julia, is I don't think we did come to any consensus on that. My recommendation is because we didn't really come to a solid consensus, let's maybe keep it there for now, but I also want to pause in case members disagree with that. Okay. I don't see any hands. I think we're a couple minutes before four. So those of us that have to leave at four, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. For those of you that can stay, thank you also. We're going to open it up to public comments. But before I do that, does anybody have any parting comments before we turn it out, before we go and ask the public their thoughts? All right. So, Chris, can you help us out with guiding the members of the public that, oh, sorry, Tom, you got your hand up?
I want to say thanks. Thank you for the good conversation. You know, we got one small part done, but there are still elements of this, of the existing language that are of concern to producers. And, you know, we look forward to continue to have that conversation. But this is one small step forward, which was great to see.
Thank you, Tom. All right. Chris, can you help guide members of our public? And then I'm going to share my screen with the notes.
Absolutely. Okay, so everyone, as a reminder, you are all muted. And if you have a question, you're going to raise your hand. So on the computer, the raise hand button appears under your name. If you're on the phone, you press *9. That'll raise your hand. When you're called upon, you'll hit *6. That'll unmute you. And that's your indication to go ahead and speak. And with that, as he just shared his screen, let me pause for a second and reset up my screen so I can see everything. It likes to sort things on me. I don't know why. Okay. With this, it looks like David is our first person. Go ahead, David. You're up.
Hi. Just one quick point is all I have with regard to the SFAs. Maybe one thing to consider rather than the current bullet point we just discussed would be to have the ability to upgrade an area or to change an area, create an SFA during the year if all of a sudden there's a rash of conflict. And I would use the lead point example from this past year. So it may not have met the criteria to be an SFA, but all of a sudden there's a rash of incidents, and that might warrant calling it an SFA at that point so as to throw more resources into the effort to try to prevent any future conflict. So that's all for today. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Okay. Chris, Bachman, you're up.
Yeah, am I up?
You are.
Yeah, I just want to say that public comment should be part of every one of these WAG meetings, and not requiring WAG members to be present during public comment speaks to the value placed on public comment at these meetings. I'm done.
Thank you, Chris.
Let's give it a pause. There's currently nobody with their hand raised. Oh, there we go. Carol, you are. Go ahead, Carol.
Hello. Well, it was a pretty impressive meeting today, and I know emotions were going all around, and I totally felt that. And I'm totally grateful to everybody who's, you know, shared a piece of their heart and soul today on this matter. With that being said, I didn't appreciate, as a nature advocate, wolf advocate, to hear that producers were blaming everything on Department of Fish and Wildlife. That wasn't right. The way I look at it, if they want to graze all over a public land, which I don't agree to because that's competing with native ungulates for food, the producers need to get with it and pay more money for grazing on public lands, and they need to allow for a certain amount of wildlife to be taken. Wolves are apex predators, and when thousands of cattle roam all over these lands, they need to expect and embrace these takes. wolves know no borders. And when the ungulates, deer, and elk are faced with thousands of cows inundating the public lands on which they live and raise their young, and then seek other places to graze, and the wolves are still in these same areas, you can expect that the wolves will have opportunities to take cows. It's that simple. And I think that the WAG needs to incorporate a statement that includes the takes of wolves and allow so many cattle to be taken, since thousands of cows are inundating the areas certain times of year. I think that another point would be that range riders need to be out on those lands and keep cattle herded, and not only allowed to, and not be allowed to separate from the herd into small units. Like the shepherds with their sheep, they're out there all night long looking after the herds. So lastly, pack numbers of wolves are small in comparison to all the thousands of cows across the landscape. I feel that wolves will be continually in the crosshairs of the cattle producers for the entire time of allowing them to graze on public lands. If we're going to restore native wolves to their native Washington environments, cattle grazing on public lands needs to be less and less. It's not, it's just not ecological or correct environmentally. And I know that our governor does not want to see wolves lethally removed. That's part of his mandate for all of you getting together and working this out. So those are my comments today. And I appreciate what everybody said today. It was a good meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. Again, we're going to pause and see if there's anybody else that wants to raise their hand. There's currently nobody waiting in line. Oh, there we go. And Rachel, you're up.
I'm going to try and be brief with this, but I agree with the previous callers, Chris and Carol. I also find these meetings a bit frustrating just because it takes so long to get anything agreed upon. And it seems that the people, the livestock producers and ranchers and refuse to compromise on anything. So it's a bit, I really don't know how the environmental folks try to keep good cheer about it all. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel.
Okay, again, have nobody waiting.
All right, we'll give it a few seconds. All right.
Yep, still nobody.
Yeah, all right, I'm going to first thank those members of the public for their comments. And I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. all right, thanks again, everybody. We're over time. You know, next time I'll do a better job making sure I plan for public comment better. Because of that, and we're in the time, I'm going to propose, hey, let's just give a general opportunity right here now. Anybody would like to share any final thoughts before we break for the day? So I'm going to pause here for that. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for your time. I never know where our journey is going to take us, you know, each meeting day to day. But I appreciate going on the journey with you. Donnie?
Yeah, I can't not talk. Yes, I want to thank all of you WAG members and staff and public. We ask a lot of you, and you put a lot of time into this, and we really, really appreciate you working on this stuff, and it is incredibly hard. And I hope you can break away now, go spend some time with family, do all that stuff to something, and have a good weekend coming up.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.